Welcome to another segment of the Agricultural Market Viewpoint. This is a podcast where we reflect on various themes influencing the agricultural economy here at home in South Africa and beyond our borders. Folks, who spent the past few weeks reflecting on summer crop growing conditions in South Africa and in the Southern Africa region. And I think the key takeaway on that is that we have a challenge at hand. The heat wave and the dryness over the past 2 months, particularly from the beginning of February all the way up until March, has caused great damage on field crop in the Southern Africa region. Zimbabwe came up this past week talking about the volume of maize that they will need to import because of the significant crop failures domestically. Zambia signaled the same message at the end of February. And we know that in countries like Malawi, there's also those difficulties. And in South Africa, we face our own challenges. Although we are not at a point where we're expecting to import, we still think that with the volumes that are expected, if they materialize, we may be having sufficient supplies for the domestic market in as far as the white maize. Of course, that assumes that we don't export a lot of maize. But I don't want to get into that conversation. If anyone is interested on listening to the summer crop dynamics, check our previous segment and then you will get a still up-to-date information about what our observations are. For this week, I want us to change the gears a bit and focus on winter crops because we are starting another critical period in South Africa's field crops. But this time around, specifically winter crops. And when I speak about winter crops, I'm referring to wheat, canola, barley, and oats. Those are the major winter crops in South Africa. I say this is a critical period because from the end of April all the way into June, this is typically the planting period. Farmers in some areas, for example, in the Western Cape, have already started preparing the soil. And we will see them preparing the soil in various provinces into May, and then some will already be planting by then, and some may plant all the way into June, all of the winter crops. Now, the majority of South African winter crops are produced within the Western Cape province, because that's the winter rainfall region. But we do have our winter crops also produced in other provinces, largely under irrigation. For example, Free State, Limpopo, and Northern Cape. Those are some of the major producing provinces for our winter crops. And the crops in those areas are primarily supported by irrigation. Now, during this period, we are all, of course, asking ourselves to say, we've seen the difficulties that are in the summer crops. What will then the winter crop season look like? And I think that firstly, if you take, say, wheat, unlike what we see in the summer crops where on maize, only 20% of the maize that is produced under irrigation. On wheat, almost half of the production is under irrigation. I'm bringing this up from the onset to say, regardless of what the weather conditions could look like, but because we have relatively healthy dam levels, the areas that are under irrigation should continue to produce the usual area and hopefully get the better yields. But I think the weather conditions will again overall be a key focus as we start the season. It's unclear what the weather conditions will look like, but what we know from the South African Weather Service, when they released their latest seasonal climate watch, they said, look, the El Nino state is now coming to an end. And as we start the winter season, it will be moving to a neutral state. The assumption then is that if we are in a neutral state, perhaps the Western Cape could receive its typical average winter rainfall. If they do receive the average winter rainfall, then that will support production and we may have a decent winter crop production. But I think it's too early to be speaking about the size of the crop, except to say that the farmers, as they are planting and they are making their planting decisions, they need to be looking at the weather and the weather forecast more closely. Because what we've learned on the summer crops is that there may be a bit of errors in the looking on the weather side. I mean, by that, I'm referring to the fact that the South African Weather Service had given us and told us that we were going to be in an El Nino. But the assumption that we took was that perhaps the dryness of the El Nino would start from around about March, and there was data and various forecasts that were indicating that. But in reality, it ended up starting to be dry in February, a month earlier, when the crop was just starting the pollination, while we thought it would dry up after pollination. And as a result, we assumed a favorable yield, but we ended up on the other side where we saw crop losses. This is all to say, on the winter wheat side, we need to focus and watch the weather closely, and as the planting decisions are being made, and be clear about what all of those forecasts will look like in various regions that we produce. But of course, that is important primarily for areas that are under rain fed. Those that are in under irrigation should do reasonably well. Now, as we start this particular winter season, it doesn't mean that the farmers have not had their fair challenges. In fact, if you are planting winter crop, you probably experience a bit more challenges than the summer grain farmers, because summer grain farmers, yes, in the recent season, they experience losses. But if you were to look back in the past two to three seasons, they've had a fairly good run, where financially, to an extent, they saw a bit of an improvement. But the winter crop farmers have had their fair share of challenges. For example, think about last year in the Western Cape, there were floods in September, and those floods damaged the crop quality. If you were to talk to people that are producing barley, are producing canola, they were all complaining about crop quality. Although the barley crop, for example, was up 25% on a year-on-year basis, canola was up 13% year-on-year basis, but there were quality issues. And then when there are quality issues, that means that the price that farmers derive from that crop also gets to be negatively affected. So this is to say they've had a fairly difficult run. Those floods also damage a lot of infrastructure, farm infrastructure, and even the roads. And that meant, again, additional cost to fix the infrastructure for the farmers in that province. And if you were in wheat production, in fact, last year was actually down by 2% at around about 2 million tons that was harvested. And at the start, the season was positive until the farmers were hit by that flood. This is all to say then that in a winter crop, they've had a fair share of difficulties over the past few seasons, which is something that is at the back of the minds of the farmers as they starting this particular season. Now, the other thing that is worth highlighting is the fact that, to the point I made earlier, that the Free State, Limpopo, and the Northern Cape are some of the largest winter wheat producing provinces outside the Western Cape. Now, with the West, the Free State, particular, is usually the third largest producer of winter wheat. And the farmers in the province have had one of the harshest summer season, crop failures, which is the point we referred to in the previous segments of this podcast. The question then we are asking ourselves today is whether, because of the devastation of the summer grain season, perhaps maybe farmers will rush to say, let's take advantage of the winter season and try to do something because our summer crop season did not do well. Or will they be more risk averse when they start this particular season, which is the 2024-25 winter crop season? That's something that I think we need to think about, to say in areas where farmers also produce summer crop and they've lost some of their summer crop harvest, would that influence negatively or positively their planting decisions? This is not something that we will know until perhaps maybe on the 25th of this month, which is the date when the Crop Estimate Committee will release its intentions to plant data, or farmers' intentions to plant data. And I think that data will give us a guidance of saying, okay, look, the farmers plan to plant X amount of hectares per province across the country. And then we will be able then to take that on and apply the judgment of the weather outlook and apply the judgment of the yields and perhaps arrive to something that may give us a guidance of where the crop this year will be compared to last year. So that's an important date to keep in mind, the 25th of April. That's when the Crop Estimate Committee releases their planting intentions data for winter crops. But I think things have not all been bad. There are some highlights, for example, on the input cost. Farmers are going to plant now, I think, with the inputs that are way better than what they experienced last year. By inputs, I'm referring to the fertilizers, herbicides, insecticides, fungicides, herbicides. All of those prices, if you were to look at them now when you compare to last year, they are fairly reasonable. I mean, think about glyphosate, for example. The prices in February were down 38%. You think about atrazine, the prices were down 5% year-on-year basis. And we see similar things when you think about the fertilizer prices. Ammonia, for example, was down 37% year-on-year basis. And you look at potassium chloride, down 36%. This is all to say that the input costs have been reasonably better this year compared to last year, which is something then that assists on farmers' cost. And I'm highlighting these because if you think about these inputs, take fertilizer, for example. It accounts for quite a significant component of a grain farmer's input cost. Yeah, roughly a third of the grain farmer's input cost is fertilizer. And when you think about the agrochemicals, they account for about 13%. So you have nearly half of the input cost of the farmers down quite double digit compared to last year. This again then makes the environment that the farmers are in are slightly better than last year. But I think overall, the critical or the central message of this week's segment is to say we are yet in another crucial period for field crops, but specifically for winter crops. And there is great uncertainty on the weather outlook side. The input costs are fairly down. The planting intentions figures at the end of April, 25th of April, will be an important data to focus on because it gives us a view about what will happen. And let's also watch the weather conditions in the winter crop growing areas. Because at the end of the day, wheat is also one of the important staples in South Africa. Yes, we are net importer. We import about half of what we produce, but we still produce significant portion domestically. So it's important that we watch all of these dynamics. But we will provide the update as the data become available on the production as well as what the farmers are planning to plant. But I thought it was important that we put this on the podcast so that the listeners are a bit aware about what are some of the key things that we are working on and we are looking at within the sector. With that, folks, let me stop there. My name is Hwandile Sihlobo. I'm an agricultural economist based in Pretoria at the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. You can read more about some of the things that I write in my blog. The link for it is in the description of this podcast. And also follow us across all of the socials, Hwandile Sihlobo, and the podcast, which is Kokeli Podcast. Thanks for listening.